There is not another name on this planet, on heaven, under the earth, or on the earth. There has never been a name given to men like the name Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. He is our Messiah. And at the name of Jesus, there are people in this room today, Father God, their prayers are for chains to be broken. There are things that are being lifted up, God, that are so painful and so hurtful. Today, those chains fall under the name of Jesus Christ. Today, we set those down and we say, Father, set the captives free. You are Jehovah Rapha. You're the God of healing. That is your name. Today, there are those who need a touch physically, medically. There are things going on. But today, God, there's a testimony on the tongue. It's a moment from a miracle. God, today we simply say thank you for the miracle because we lift it up to the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee on the earth, under the earth, in the heavens, the Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue confess. So, Lord, we know that even demons are confessing today because they know that name. We call on that name today. We pray for our community. Lord, we pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for our children and our community. We pray for our teachers and our schools, our nurseries, our preschools, those that are with child, even today, God. We pray that our community, we are going to make it a better place for them to grow up than what we have, Lord, because we are taking back the ground. We are taking back in the name of Jesus. You said, Jesus, the light of the world, the light that gives men life has come. And so, Lord, our home, our house, our church, all the churches around here are the beachfront. They're the landing ground for the power of God. So we pray for our churches and pastors today. In the name of Jesus, for our children's sake, we ask God that every pastor be encouraged with words, even now as they get to preach, whether they're Catholic or Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal, right now in the name of Jesus, encourage our brothers and sisters that have the same name that we do, Christian. Lord, today we pray for our first responders with all the drug epidemic, with the anxiety and the suicides. Lord, we pray against those things. Satan, you are a liar and you have no authority. And we just pray in the name of Jesus that chains fall off. We pray for Tim Donlin in our sheriff's department, God, that you give them strength to do their job and protect them. We pray for Chief Reeves in our police department, God, that you give them the authority that they have. Thank you for their service. Thank you for the men and women who put their lives on the line to protect us. Lord, give them wisdom and favor. And we pray that you would break every stronghold in our community, every drug ring in our community. In Jesus' name. It is a great name today. It is that name today that we call on and we worship. You are worthy of all our praise. Because our homes are not going to be the same. You're doing something in us. And I can't wait to see, Father. In Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, amen. Wow, the Holy Spirit's here, amen. The power of God. Thank you, worship team. I ordered props. Oh, thank you. Yes. Praise the Lord. We got the water coming in. We're talking about the power of rain. Here it comes. Praise God. Just walk in the water, right? We're glad you're here. We're going to ask our ushers to come forward. Some of you are in storms. I don't know if you heard the storm last night. It woke me up in the dead of sleep. And my wife slept right through it. I don't know where you're at. Some people are thanking God for the storm. Some people are cursing God for the storms. The farmers right now are saying, thank you, God, for the rain. The people that wanted to go to the beach on Sunday morning are saying, curse God, why is it like this? You know what? The storms are going to be here. It's just a matter of what you're wanting out of your storm this morning. All of you are in a storm. All of you are under the rain. It's not a question as if it's going to rain. Are you going to see it as a blessing or as a cursing in your life? And that's what we're talking about today. If you're going to flourish, in May flowers, then you've got to find the blessing in the power of rain. Father, bless these offerings, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know how it is when you feel like God has forgotten about you? When you feel like God has left you alone and just forgot, left you to rot. I have a plan for you, saith the Lord. It is a plan for good and not for calamity. God is saying he's up to something great. He's up to something wonderful. He's up to something spectacular if you will but yield to him and make him your passion. He will show you his plan. That's what he said. I don't know all the points Satan has up against you. I don't know all the people who want to keep you hopeless. I don't know how long you've been in scenario, but I do know that somebody will make the final decision about how things are going to turn out. But now you find yourself in a hopeless situation and things are not going well. But what he wants you to know, that since you've met him, you can go through those circumstances with a smile. You can go through that cleaning with a smile. You can take care of your business even in a bad situation with a smile. Why? Because he's looking for you. He's got a plan for you. He's got a goal for you. And when that connection is made, you'll be saying, it was worth it. I'd do it all over again. Because some things are worth the wait. God is up to something great.
Amen. How many of you know that? God is up to something great. So I want you to turn to your neighbor and tell him, you better turn your cup up. Tell him, turn your cup up because it's about to rain. No, you got to tell your neighbor that. It's about to rain. Tell somebody it's about to rain. Some of you are still looking at me. I don't know why you're looking at me. It's about to rain. I got to tell you, it rained. And you can't make this stuff up, but God is so good. When I was, when I became a Christian, 6 months later, I was home on college break and I was working on my dad's farm in South Dakota. 1983. That was another millennium. 1983, I was helping my dad put in crops. We had 7,000 acres at the Olson Farms. My dad, my uncle, my cousins, we were putting in the crops. We put the crops in, but something happened in 1983. I even looked it up this week just to make sure it was true. It was one of the worst droughts that we've had in our lifetime. 1983, not a year to be farming. But something about 1983 was different this time. Here's what was different. I was a Christian. Turn your cup up. It's about to rain. In fact, governors declared all kinds of disasters because things were so bad. Iowa, they were shutting down banks because they were going bankrupt. The farmers didn't have money. So in 1983, I went to my dad. I was a Christian for 6 months. And I was so naive. I didn't know any better. I didn't know you weren't supposed to say crazy stuff as Christians. I told my dad, I said, I know it's dry. I know everything's drying up. And that year, a lot of guys, 80 to 100% loss on most farmers. But I went to my dad and I said, I think God wants to do something. I really feel like he's speaking to me. And I was reading my Bible for the first time in my life. I'd been a Christian, all of 6 months. And I went to my dad and I said, I think you're supposed to do something. Dad, I think you should tell people it's going to rain. And you need to tell them because we ask God for rain. I didn't know you weren't supposed to do stuff like that as a Christian. You're supposed to keep your mouth shut. Don't say crazy stuff like that. You don't speak things that aren't as though they were. So I said, Dad, you need to go to the farmer's elevator, and when you go up for coffee at the mom and pop shop, you need to tell them, God says it's going to rain. Now, my dad wasn't in a place to do something so ridiculous and be made fun of. I was. As a young man, you do things that you don't care what people think. When you get older, you start worrying about what other people think. So everybody's talking about the drought. That's all they talked about. The ground was dry. Nothing happened for a day. Nothing happened the next day. But then the next day, and there was the forecast, it was not unusual to find temperatures at 100 degrees on a daily basis. And so everything's drying out, and the forecast was absolutely no moisture. But on that third day, here it comes. A cloud, a rain, a heavy rain, a massive heavy rain for a few days. And then it kept raining, but not everywhere. And you know what they were talking about, the farmer's elevator? They were talking about the farmer's elevator, all the farmers, and up at the mom and pop shop having coffee, they were talking, and I was telling them the reason it rained. Because you could literally go down the mile line where the fence row was in several of our fields, and farmer so-and-so didn't have a drop of rain, and I'm not making this up. I even recorded it and typed it on a thing called a typewriter. Had you used this thing called whiteout? I have that in my file, and I've reviewed it. It's 30 years old, 30-something years old, 34 years old. You could go right down the line, and you could see where the rain was on the Olson farm. And you know what everybody's talking about? How the Olson farm is getting rain. We're having good rain. Because I wanted people to know that my God will rain on those who've put their cup up and are getting ready, because it's about to rain. Now, I have to say that to you because there's a lot of people who don't understand this. It's raining right now. Right here. Bless the Lord. I love it when God brings the props. I simply bring the message. He takes care of the rest. How's that? So as I tell you this, rain is a sign of blessing. In fact, it was Franklin Graham at the inauguration that was asked to pray. And as he got up, just getting ready to pray, as they swore in our president, it began to rain. He said, just so I can tell you, that is oftentimes a sign of blessing. He was ridiculed and mocked for it, Franklin Graham. Regardless of your political view, it is still considered, or has been considered, in ancient customs in most cultures, that rain is a blessing. In fact, here's one of the positive attitudes that you need to... Well, before I get to that, let me just say this. Our planet is 90% water. You know that. And yet 80% of the people that live on this planet don't have access to drinking water. Watch me. Maybe you didn't hear, I'm about to Jesus juke this thing. 90% of our planet is water. 80% of the people on the planet don't have access to clean water. We are surrounded by the resource. We just have not learned how to harness what's around us. Christians, we are surrounded by the power and the glory of God, and 80% of the Christian churches have not learned to harness the power of God. And we have people starving for answered prayer in the church today. Are you getting it? It's all around us, and we haven't learned the power of rain. R-A-I-N? Or is he talking about R-E-I-G-N? Yes, I am. We can hear this in the Jewish writings of the Talmud in ancient Babylon. Our archaeologists dug this up, and they found this statement in the Babylonian Talmud of the ancient Jews. It says, the day of rain is greater than the resurrection of the dead, because the resurrection of the dead only benefits the righteous, but rain benefits both the righteous and the unrighteous. Think about that. That's why rain is a blessing. You don't have to be a Christian to go, man, we really needed the rain. You don't have to be a Christian to have the sunshine and be beneficial for that. See, God uses these things to bless the righteous and the unrighteous, the just and the unjust. It's the only time in human history where all humans are the same in God's eyes. It rains on the righteous and the unrighteous. Listen, on a sunny day, on a Sunday, when it's 85 degrees outside, you say, thank God it's 85 degrees outside. I worship the Lord. Somebody else has a six-pack of beer, and they're sitting on a floaty at Lakeside Beach. And they aren't thanking God, but they are benefiting the same way you are. Does that make sense? It's not if you're in a storm or not that matters. It's what you see in the storm. It's how you see rain that makes the difference. And so today, I want to take out of Psalm chapter 1. You have that in your Bibles, and your Bibles are right in front of you with a pen and a notebook. I'm sorry, or your Bibles are in front of you on a smart device, and you have some kind of way of typing your notes. You have that. I want to give you three observations today that can change your life because you want to write this down. I know everybody right now is going, man, if my neighbor had a pen or a piece of paper, that would be awesome. Or you have such good memory, you're going to commit this to memory. Here's the first thing. If you're going to flourish, if I'm going to grow, if I'm going to find the things of God in my life and become a better person and a better Christian and a better husband and a better human being, here's the first thing you need to understand. Number one, if rain is going to be powerful in your life, you need to do this. You need to not get soiled. Don't get soiled. In verse 1 of Psalms, I was going to say Palms. In the Palms, it says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the step with the wicked. There's three things happening here. If I'm not going to get soiled, if I'm going to make sure the groundwork is going to be good, then I need to understand this first verse. This is the first observation. It says three things. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk with the wicked, stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the company of the mockers. What does that mean? It means those that I'm around aren't going to matter. Because here's what it is. I'm walking with God, and I'm doing real good. And it says, here's the first thing you need to understand. Don't let your groundwork get messed up. If I'm going to bless you, then you got to have the soil. You got to have your cup up. I can't have your cup up if you're walking with people with their cups down. There's three things happening. It says, blessed is a man who doesn't walk. So I'm walking with God, and then I turn. Now I'm walking with the wicked. And there's three things that happen here in progression. I'm walking with the wicked. When you start walking with the wicked, you're not walking with God. And when you're walking with the wicked, it gets kind of heavy because now I'm hanging around with a bunch of wicked people. I'm hanging around with a bunch of negative people, people who are influencing my life for the worse. And after a while, I'm tired of walking. And so I stop, and now I'm standing in the way of sinners. And when you stand in the way of sinners, that means I'm not leaving. I'm going to listen to your bad jokes. I'm going to listen to your negative stuff. You're going to bring the garbage. You're going to dump your crap. I'm hearing this stuff. In fact, I'm participating now. I'm just standing. I'm not walking with you anymore. I'm standing. And after you stand and you take all this garbage on, you know what? It's so heavy that I'm now sitting. I'm doing nothing. I quit. Is this making sense? What happens when you walk with them? You walk with them long enough, you just get tired of it, and you're just like, I quit, and you stand. After you stand around it long enough, and that just piles up on you, you just can't take it anymore, and you just sit down, and you give up, and you quit. And I've seen this, and it says this, don't be caught up in this walking, don't be caught up in the standing, and don't be caught up in the sitting. Listen, you got to walk with God. You can't just stop and give up because you've done these things. The people you're around are going to influence your flourish. You're either going to germinate or you're going to terminate, okay? You're either growing or you're dying. Maybe you're not quite getting this. Growing means you're in constant motion in a good way. Are you getting it? Here, let me bring this up. We're going to try this. We were at a leadership conference last week, and they brought up these hashtags, these points, and it made it easier for me to remember. So let's bring up this first one. Flourishing is proactive, not a reactive life. What do you mean by that? It means I am not waiting for things to happen. I meet people all the time, financially. I talked to a couple this week. They're getting married in July. I said, talk to me about your finances. Let me know how you're doing. They go, well, we have a joint checking account. I said, that's great. How do you spend your money? They said, well, we just kind of pay the bills, and then what's left over, we just go spend it, and we buy stuff. I said, how much is in your savings? Nothing. How much is in your emergency fund? Nothing. How much is in this fund? Nothing. I said, you're living a reactive life. You are not going to flourish if you're being reactive. I said, the first thing you're going to do is you're going to set up an emergency fund with 3 months of income. You need to set a little bit aside each month. They said, why? I said, because what do you do when the car breaks? And they said, we just put it on our credit card. As if that's free money. That credit card that's coming in, and how are you going to pay that off? Now you're paying on your own money, on your own emergency, 13 to 21% or 28% interest. And then you have more problems in your marriage because you're being reactive. I said, set some money aside so that you're being proactive. Relationships. I ask guys all the time, what are you doing to enhance your relationship with your wife? I don't know. What do you do? Do you take her out on a date? Oh, yeah, we go to Applebee's all the time. Applebee's, yep. Or we take her to McDonald's all the time. Get a Happy Meal. Try something new. Don't be reactionary. Don't wait till something's going wrong. Keep feeding that thing with something right. Keep that relationship. People that are wanting to date, people wanting to get into a relationship. And I find people are so reactionary. They're not being proactive. They're being reactive. You can't flourish and find the things that you want in life if you're being reactive. I see young ladies and middle-aged ladies that are single, had gone through divorce or looking at relationships. They're going through stuff, and they're so reactive. It's the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I just talked to a young man. He says, man, I'd love, he was at the gym. He works there. He says, I would love to get married someday. I said, how's that going for you? He says, there's no women in Port Huron. Did not know we were a male-dominated community. I said, there's no women. He says, well, Pastor, there's no good women. I said, what are you looking for? Somebody that's breathing. I said, okay, set the bar a little higher than that. What? He said, I'm just trying to find somebody that's normal. I said, well, what are you doing in your own life to put yourself out there to be proactive? What are you doing in a relationship to do that? Well, I don't know. I said, if you don't improve yourself to be a better husband, to be a better man, to be a better whatever it is, then you're just waiting for things to happen and you're not being proactive. You will not flourish. And it says, stop walking. Here's one thing you do. Stop walking with negative people in the counsel of the wicked. Because the next thing you're going to find yourself is, I'm just simply standing in the way of the ungodly. Before I know it, man, I'm just kind of sitting at the table of I give up. And I say, don't do it. The people you're around are going to fill your cup. Get yourself around people who are proactive. Get yourself around people who are awesome. Get yourself around positive people who are filling your cup. Listen, folks, it's about to rain. Turn the cup up. But you can't be around people who have their cup down. Doesn't matter what God does. Ah, that's just that Jesus stuff. Well, get your cup up and let Jesus do his stuff. Let him change your life. 1 Corinthians 15:33 says this, bad company corrupts good character. Say that with me. Bad company corrupts good character. So stop walking with them, standing with them, and sitting with them. And get yourself, take the opposite of that. Good company builds up great character. That's what I'm going to do. Surround yourself with good people. Listen, I don't know about you, but I mean, I meet all kinds of people all the time. I have people who are some of the most negative people. I don't even know how they get through life. I don't know how they wake up. It's the same story all the time. And you know what? They actually sometimes even go to church. And they sometimes go to our church. Now, we should all just kind of look around. None of this. Because here it is. You know what I do? I'm like, man, God bless you. I love you. I love you. I got a place in the back row for you. You're still welcome to church. No, follow this. Because people, they'll call me up. Hey, you want to go golfing, Pastor? You want to hang out? You want to go to a Tigers game? Yes, I do. And then I'll look and go, who is this? Nope, not available. Why? Because here it is. Not everyone is healthy enough to have a seat in your front row. Let me say that again. Not everyone is healthy enough to have a seat in your front row. You got to stop inviting people into the living room. They can be on the front porch, but they are not welcome to your kitchen table. You say, that doesn't sound very nice. No, it sounds wonderful. Listen, if those people want to change their attitude, but I'm not walking with the ungodly. I'm not standing with the sinners or the mockers. I'm not sitting in the seat of the mocker. No, I'm walking with God, and I'm letting him fill my cup. You say, what do you mean? My soil is not going to get soiled because I'm not allowing people to speak those things into my life. I'm not going to surround myself. That's the first thing. If you want God to reign and to bless you, you have got to, number one, you got to watch the soil. You got to do the groundwork. The second thing is, you got to let God reign. And this is R-E-I-G-N. Verse 2. You want God to work in your life? I'm going to tell you right now, there's no other solution than to let God reign. It says, those who Church, turn to somebody and say, delight. Now turn and say delight with a smile on your face. Right? Isn't the word delight great? You know what the word delight, when I saw this, I broke it into two words. Delight. And the only thing that I could think of was, I said, God, that has got to be Greek for ice cream. There's no doubt. But those who ice cream in the Lord, I'm telling you, delight, I know this is true. I have a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a problem. I'll admit it in front of the entire congregation. I have an addiction to ice cream. You say, what kind? I think I just told you, ice cream. Baskin-Robbins made 52 flavors. Shame on them. They need to get some more flavors in there. Why did they quit? And if God isn't so good, because those who delight in the Lord, oh, and meditate on his word day and night, oh, I'm telling you, you got to let God reign in your life. I'm letting God reign in my life, and I don't just mean the rain, R-A-I-N. I mean, he is reigning in my life. And it, sure enough, Tim Hortons, if that wasn't good enough, in walking distance from my house, God didn't see that to be fit for me. He put in a stone cold ice cream. Cold stones? Did I say that right? I don't care which way you put it. It's good. All I know is you walk in, you get the, I like it, I love it, and I really, 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 really super love it. They said, what do you want? I said, I don't care. It's good. I mean, you start with the vanilla, you throw in the chocolate, you throw in the chocolate chips, you throw in the Reese's peanut butter cups, you throw in the fudge, you put in the Oreo cookies, you mix it all up, you mash it all up, and you throw it into a cup that says, I love it. That is a God moment. That is a Jesus visitation. You say it's not. Every ice cream place in town knows me, my name. They know who I am. I'm a regular. I have a problem. And it's not with ice cream. It's with my wife's checkbook and credit card. Because there ain't enough money to buy enough ice cream. I delight in the Lord. Listen, if you delight in the Lord, the Bible says, blessed is he who delights in the Lord. Because on his law, he meditates day and night. I have to get my Thompson Chain Reference Concordance. This is my Bible. This is my blessing. I let the Word of God reign. I let the Word of God reign. Folks, I have another addiction. I wake up every day and I get the Word of God. I get up every day and I get the Word of God. I just let it rain in my life. It rained last night. It was funny, in first service, I said, God, this is great. I said, we need to let it rain. It downpoured. We just stopped for about 2 minutes and we just let it just kind of go. And it was pouring down. I said, you're not going to do this in second service, are you, Lord? So hold on. They got the downpour. You guys got the drip. This word, this is the covenant power of God. This is the faucet of God's word. There are 7,000 faucets in this thing. 7,000 promises. And every morning I turn the faucet on before I grab the Twitter, before I go to Instagram, before I go to anything else, before I turn on the TV or make my coffee, before I do anything in my home, we turn on the faucet, we turn the cup and say, God, let it rain in my life. You do that, can I tell you something? The blessing, that's when you will grow. You got to get yourself one of these. You got to go get yourself a rainmaker. You know, it's amazing. The reason that 80% of the church is surrounded by the power of God and can't do anything about it is because most of them don't have a Bible. And if they have it, they don't know where it's at. Go get one. If you don't have one, I will get you a Bible. Bring it. Hold it. Turn the faucet on every day. 7,000 spigots, 7,000 promises. I wake up in the morning and, man, my God tells me I can do all things through Christ. I wake up in the morning and my God says, I'm with you. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Wherever you put your foot, I will give it to you. On and on and on and on and on it goes. And yet, most people don't even have a faucet, a spigot. Get yourself a rain maker. Last night, I woke up in the middle of the night. I thought we were going to have a tornado. Did nobody else hear? I said to my wife this morning, I said, did you hear the storm last night? She said, nope. I said, it went crack, boom, and the whole house shook. The window shook. I jumped up out of my bed. I was like, do we go to the basement? What do we do? This is awesome. My second thought was, and this is something we do in our house, do I go downstairs, wake her up, get a couple lawn chairs, open the sliding glass door, make some popcorn, open the curtains, and sit back and watch the lightning? That's what we do. We love it. But I didn't want to bother her. She was sleeping so good. And then I thought, well, there's no tornadoes. I don't know what's going on. It shook my world. It shook my world. Can I tell you something? Thunderstorms, lightning. Lightning is gaseous nitrogen. By the way, nitrogen makes up 78% of our atmosphere, and it's all unusable. We can't take that nitrogen because it's just, it's all around us. But when thunder and lightning happens, it explodes, it separates the atoms, it shoots nitrogen, usable nitrogen, into the earth, into the soil, and it causes things to grow at alarming rates. Last night, God exploded onto the scene and took what was unusable and stuck it right into the soil to make things grow exponentially. Storms are God's opportunities for our maximum growth. Let me say that again. Storms are God's opportunities. You're going through a storm. You're like, God, I don't know why this is going on. Why the thunder? Why the lightning? Why the storm in my life? He's trying to separate something that's unusable in your life, and he's trying to make it something that can grow in your life. You ought to bless the storms. Thank you, God. God, I know there's lightning. I know there's thunder. I don't know if I want to go hide in the basement or I want to wake up my wife. Can I tell you something? You ought to wake up your wife. You ought to say, you know what? Thank God. I don't know how bad this is going to get right now in my life, but God's in charge. And if God can take this incredible power, separate things, take what I can't use, and put it into my heart, I'm going to be a better man for it. The Word of God is something in our lives that we ought to get into daily, because when the storms come, God, you're separating things and you're planting things. And I want nitrous in my heart. I want to grow. Whew, there's so much more. We're going to wrap this up. We have to wrap this up. Flourishing flowers prosper. I want to give this last thing to you. Look in verse 3. In verse 3, it gives us the answer. If you, listen, church, if you will do this, if you'll grab the Word of God and the power of rain, if you'll allow God to reign in your life, you'll allow God to be a part of your life, you'll get rid of the garbage stuff and take this in, here's the result. You will be like a tree planted by streams of water. Look what happens to that stream, that tree. It yields its fruit in season. I love orange trees. I grew up in California. They always give oranges at the right time, but it says this, and whose leaf in February does not wither. Even in the wintertime, God's going to bless you. Even in the storm. And look at the last four words. Whatever you do prospers. Can I tell you something? God wants you to prosper. God wants you to grow. God wants you to flourish. Now, I'm not talking about Mercedes Benzes and gold rings. That is not God's prosperity. God's prosperity is found in Isaiah, excuse me. Yeah, let's do Isaiah 55. In Isaiah 55, verses 10 through 13, this is the result. If you'll follow this, if you'll turn your cup up, Isaiah 55, 10 says, as the rain and the snow come down, as you're bringing the word in, it won't return. It's going to make things bud and flourish. There's that word flourish. So that yield seed for the sower and bread for the eater. Verse 11 tells us, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will never return empty, but it will accomplish what I desire. You know what I desire in my life? I desire in my life that my wife and I have a good marriage. I desire in my life that my children see a man of God. I desire in my life that Grace Ministry impacts our Blue Water area for the good. It is my desire that drugs are a thing of the past in Port Huron. It is my desire that anxiety and suicide are things that we have helplines and things set up not on Facebook, but with face-to-face. It is my desire that we take men. I have 25 men I'm meeting with on Wednesday nights. I'm hoping there's a few more men I'm going to be able to meet with one-on-one. But we have 25 men right now who are meeting. Why? Because face-to-face, we need to be men of God so that next year it's going to be 300 men. Why? Because we have got to get face to face. My wife and I were just talking about driving into church. I said, it is so hard to reach the unsaved. It is so easy to save the saved. You know what churches are full of? Churches are full of the saved just hopping back and forth. That's what churches are full of. Because the unsaved are hard. That's a lot of work. They're a mess. You want me to go make friends with somebody whose life is a mess? Yes. But the church, we need to be potted. We need to be planted, not potted. We are so, as a church, we are so about being potted, not planted. You know what I mean by that? It means you could take the pot. We have people that leave this pot at Grace Ministry, and we go over to River Ministry, and we go to Colonial Woods Ministry, and we leave there. We go to the Catholic Ministry, and then we go to the Baptist Ministry, and then we come back to this ministry. Because you know what? We don't have any roots down anywhere. And when you have root, you have fruit. We need to be planted. When you're planted, you start bearing seed, and the seed starts falling on the other soil, and then that starts growing. That's what happens when you're planted. Get your roots deep. I'm eating with 25 men because here's the deal. I'm glad the saved are saved, and I'm glad the saved can cope and be wherever they're. Plant some roots. If you are planting roots, join us. Grab a human soul who's withering and dying and water them with the Word of God. It will change their life. That's a lot of work. I'm asking my prayer partner all the time, hey, are you in the Word? 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 Talking to guys. Sometimes they're like, I forgot. You forgot to get a drink of water this morning? I go through about 8 giant waters a day. Could you imagine not having anything for your soul? Man, I'm filling it up every day, every day, every day. I want to be planted, not potted. I want to grow. I want to bloom where I'm planted. Jeremiah 29:11. I don't even know how to close. I have so much more. God knows the thoughts He has for you. Thoughts for peace and not evil. We're in a different trance. There we go. No, we're still in King James. That's all right. I'm going to say it to you in the NIV that I memorized. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. My God says, I know the plans I have for you. I don't know about all of you, but my God tells me and my wife every morning, Mitch and Susan, I know the plans I have for the two of you. My plans for the two of you are to wake up today and I want to prosper you and give you a hope. What does that prosperity mean? Well, in Isaiah 55, verse 13, it gives us the answer. Go back to this. Go back to Isaiah 55. I know we were there in verse 13. Nope, that's not going to do it. We're going to go to verse 13. Have you got that? There we go. If you will follow God instead of thorn bush, you will grow the juniper. Instead of briars and myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown. For an everlasting sign. God wants to do this in our lives. He wants to change things. Go back one verse for me. Bev, go to 12. You will go out in joy. This is what I want for my wife. When we turn the faucet on every morning, we're going to go out into our world in joy. We're going to be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills will burst in song before you. And the trees of the field are going to clap their hands. I don't know about you, but I'm going to walk out today with joy. Why? Whether it's raining or sunshine, I've already turned the faucet on. Our scripture this morning when we woke up, before we did anything, we turned the faucet on and it rained down on us, and it was, you are a temple of the Holy Spirit. You were bought at a price. You are the temple of God's Spirit. We woke up this morning, I said, honey, God thought enough about us to plant His Holy Spirit in us. He must love us and think we're beautiful. And so when we walk outside, when we go to church, whoever shows up, it doesn't matter. Whatever disease shows up, it doesn't matter. If cancer tries to knock on our door, it doesn't matter. If the finances things don't figure out, it doesn't matter. If it's raining, if it's sunshine, it doesn't matter. If they're putting orange cones out in front of our church, it doesn't matter. Ah, construction again. Praise God. The fields are clapping their hands for Mitch and Susan because I'm being led forth in peace and I'm going out in joy. How do I know that? Because my life is led under God's power of his reign. Have you surrendered to God? Let's stand together. Have you delighted?